Our next, the last one is the Dr. Sarah.
Great, thank you. So I'm going to talk a little bit about some work that we do with CDC on measuring influenza vaccination coverage among healthcare personnel. And I want to acknowledge my APPS colleagues as well as the CDC folks, and actually Sarah Donahue, who's not on here, but she's in the audience and plays a significant role in this work as well. So I have no relationships to disclose. So just to give you a little bit of background about why this is important and why it's a public health goal for healthcare personnel in particular, vaccination coverage among this group has historically been extremely low. And although with the H1N1 pandemic in 2009, the rates came up to about 62%, that was still way below the Healthy People 2020 target of 90%. And this continues among select occupations and in select types of facilities. So CDC's goal was to have a more timely assessment of within and post-season vaccination coverage. And this is really difficult. For one, it's a very small group. Less than 10% of workers fall into the healthcare professions. Also, we have no sampling frame easily available to do this. And then when you're talking about a flu season, it's a very short period of time and a short period with which to be vaccinated. So this was something that was quite difficult. So CDC chose a rapid large-scale panel survey to assess healthcare personnel vaccination. So their objectives, they had several objectives. One is obviously wanting to estimate vaccination coverage among healthcare personnel. The other was to look into the effects of employer policies on vaccination among these groups in various settings and across different occupational categories. And then to have this information quickly so that you could go on to provide data for any vaccination campaigns that might be happening in the current season as well as the season that would follow. So, for instance, there may be information that you could get from a different kind of survey that would take too long, like random digit dialing would be far too expensive and that kind of thing. So the panel survey seemed like a good solution in a lot of ways. This would also allow us to determine subgroups that would be at high risk for not getting vaccinated. And as I mentioned, sort of one of the biggest challenges for us is the rapid turnaround requirement. So we launch surveys and close them within 2 weeks and then have data available within approximately 1 month following, and then the end of season data is available sort of for the start of the next season, so they can use that information for the following season. So how do we recruit people using a panel survey? So we have two sources. A large number of our clinical healthcare personnel come from WebMD Internet Portal. It has more than 2.5 million U.S. members, and essentially they sign up for content, and as sort of an agreement to be part of this, they then agree that they're going to be willing to take some surveys. So you sort of have a captive audience in that way. I mean, they can say no, but they've agreed to take some surveys. And then for our clinical and non-clinical support personnel sample, we use Survey Sampling International, which is a general population panel of more than 1 million U.S. households. And these are all, again, people who have signed up and agreed to be panelists. And they were given very, very small incentives, more as a panel maintenance function than, you know, for our particular study. So there were two types of recruitment methods for these samples. The first is email invitation, so actually sending a direct email to a potential participant with a link in it, and then they can click on the link and take the survey screen and then go on to take the survey if they meet the screen and decide that they're willing to do so. The other method that we used in a different but similar survey that showed a lot of promise is the intercept method. So it's essentially putting an ad up, almost like a banner ad on like the WebMD page, for example, and then someone can kind of come along, see it, click on it, and be linked to the survey that way. And we've actually had quite a bit of success reaching different populations in that way. So for last year, we ended up having about 2,300 respondents. And among that group, 67% reported having been vaccinated since July of 2011, and this survey was launched in April, so it was at the end of the season. And that's an increase over the year prior, which was about 64% vaccination rate, and which, again, is a jump over what we saw as the highest in probably ever was in 2009 at 62%. So we're continuing to make some gains with that. Looking by occupation, you can see that the highest coverage was among physicians, and then sort of the lowest was among other clinical support staff. So this is allied health professionals like a pharmacist or a dietitian, and technicians or technologists like radiology technicians, etc. And then your non-clinical support staff, which would be administrative support staff, as well as food service, maintenance, housekeeping, or that kind of thing. So they tended to have overall the lowest rates. We also looked by work setting, and you can see the highest coverage was among healthcare personnel who were working in hospitals, and the lowest coverage was among healthcare personnel working in nursing homes or other long-term care facilities, which of course is worrisome when you think that some elderly populations are at great risk for very decreased poor outcomes associated with influenza. So that's an important thing to note. We also broke this out, so we were looking at, okay, by setting and by occupation, what could you target for your messaging, or who are the groups that really most need some messaging around vaccination? And you can see here, in general, long-term care facilities had relatively low rates, especially in the other clinical support and non-clinical support staff, which we'd seen before. And unfortunately, some of these, if you break it out, you end up with very small ends, and so we couldn't show that. But so this just underscores what we had seen previously. We then went on to look at, okay, so we know the overall rate, but what is the impact of some sort of vaccination policy on vaccination coverage among these groups? So 49% reported that their employer did not have a vaccination policy in place. Of those that said they did have a policy, 21% reported that this was a requirement, and 29% reported it was a recommendation. So if you generally were to look at our vaccination coverage by presence of either type of employer policy, you will see that just having some sort of a policy does actually make a difference. So if it's a recommendation, those are about 80% vaccinated, and requirement jumps up to 96% vaccinated, so above the healthy people 2020 rate. So. We wanted to break this out further and look at this by occupation type, and you can see, importantly, that this has a really big impact in the other clinical support staff as well as the non-clinical support staff, and those are the two groups that were lagging behind in general, and you can see that the rate is far below healthy people 2020 without a policy, jumps up quite a bit with a recommendation, and then you're reaching healthy people 2020 levels with that requirement. And similarly, you can see a similar trend here by setting. And again, I point out the long-term care facility jumps way up even with just the recommendation, and then up some more with the requirement. There was some interest to look at this, okay, within hospitals, what does this look like? And really the trend is the same as you can see here. Highest rates are definitely with the requirement. I mean, almost 100% of physicians in the requirement group in hospitals were vaccinated, so highly effective. And similarly for physicians' offices or other ambulatory care. One thing I wanted to just point out in terms of, I didn't have a limitation slide in here, but there's sort of one large limitation around using the panel survey, and that is that because it's a non-probability sample, we can't conduct any statistics using these data or a confidence interval around some of our estimates. So really what you're looking at is the percentages and your numbers and deciding from sort of a policy standpoint, are those differences big enough and are you comfortable with that? So that I think is the biggest limitation with using a panel survey like this. Some conclusions. As we saw, differences in vaccination coverage among healthcare personnel definitely exist among occupation groups and settings. As we saw, you know, the clinical support staff, non-clinical support staff had lower rates, and long-term care facilities definitely had lower rates. And just in general, with any type of policy, whether it's a requirement or a recommendation, you see higher coverage among all occupational groups and work settings. With just some sort of policy in place. And this was notable among nurses, and as I pointed out, I think it's most notable among non-clinical support staff and seen across all work settings, but most notably in that long-term care facility setting. So as you saw, coverage among all the occupational groups met and exceeded the Healthy People 2020 targets when the employer policy was a vaccination requirement. We also asked some other information about why healthcare personnel may or may not have been vaccinated, and some of the reasons led us to conclude that really there needs to be some additional education and promotional activities that would stress, you know, first of all, how important this is for you, your patients, your family, the safety of the vaccine, and how effective it is. And these messages need to be to be spread among these groups of healthcare personnel. And then in terms of who could be targeted for additional messaging would be any occupation or work setting that doesn't have any kind of policy, nurses working in hospitals with a policy that's a recommendation but not a requirement, they were a little bit lower, and then again the other clinical and non-clinical support staff in long-term care facilities and non-clinical support staff in physicians' offices. And additional research has shown, not part of this study, but that access to on-site, no-cost, multiple-day vaccination clinics can definitely improve vaccination coverage.